Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
More with Dr. Samuel Colbert, author of Good People, Bad Managers.
You talk about a new management mentality can happen by removing the hierarchy from the organization. The way it's set up now, and I think that's the case we saw, for example, in the Wells Fargo that you mentioned, those at the lowest rung are the only ones that seem to be held accountable. Those people lost their jobs, and if people at the top left, they left with a golden parachute.
Well, they did until Congress got involved.
Yes.
And then they started chopping it up at the top, too. And likewise at Volkswagen, when their Audi division was fudging emission data. Now, eventually it goes up, so why not start with more transparency inside the company? The competition should be out in the workplace, not inside the company. And you've got situations now where almost everyone has a boss that says the right thing, that shows the good behavior and says, my door is always open. Please come and tell me. I don't want any surprises. And yet so much is going on that makes it difficult for people to speak their truth to people above them in the hierarchy. And I mentioned many of those forces inside the company, and what's implicit is it's got to change. You've got to change the management mentality so that people in jobs can feel more secure, and with that security, get other people, their teammates and the people below them, give them some focus and work for them. I mean, what is good management? Good management is staging the conditions for other people to accomplish and succeed, getting credit for their accomplishments. But the company cultures too often don't pay off for helping others. It pays off for taking care of yourself. And I mean, just think about it. How many hours should managers spend talking with their direct reports and previewing and not reviewing actions and being candid and authentic? And now, how does a boss get credit for that? How does, if somebody, if an employee makes progress and makes accomplishments, the boss can't take credit for that. You can't list that. There's no metric that allows you to say, hours spent or progress made. You just don't get that very often. You can get it in new startups where everybody's for everything because everyone's making out from the results. But in large companies and many small companies as well, it's very tough to get the focus and the support and confidence that allows you to work independently and be your very best.
A few minutes left in the program. In the beginning of the book as well, you're saying you're really talking about system change. And I'm interested to find out what kind of pushback you're getting from people that don't necessarily want to see that system change. And the other part of that, as I mentioned, you're a professor at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. What kind of reaction do you get when you're talking to the next generation of managers?
Everybody buys it, but they go to work and there's no support for it.
Yes.
I've done exposés of many issues in mainstream good management practices, so-called. And people nod their heads say they're going to implement, and they can't when they go. And that's the reason I wrote this book. I saw too many well-intentioned people wanting to do things that they knew were more appropriate and respectful of the people that they had hired and that were working for them, and defeated and unaware of what was going on around them that blocked them from realizing realizing their good intentions.
What about the students you talk to? Like I said, the next generation of managers out there. Do you see the response in their face, in their eyes as you're talking, that they understand what you're saying and they really would like to see these changes? But again, they can't do it alone.
Well, I think that by and large, our MBA students are more interested in succeeding than they are in managing the way I describe it. And initially, theoretically, in their minds, people see that this is the kind of good management they'd like to receive. But you go out into the workplace and you start experiencing the competitive forces of your peers and the pressures from your superiors, and you get distracted from good intentions. Good intentions are wonderful after I feel secure enough and I see that what I'm doing is going to accrue and make me a success. And the pressures to succeed and move up the chain, you know, and managers who don't move up, they move on. They're moved out. So the pressures are tremendous. And what I want to do is make people aware of the pressures that are taking place, the forces on them that cause them to engage in behavior that isn't as supportive and of the people that are depending on them to guide and coach them and give them the support that allows them to succeed. So you started off by citing the Gallup poll, which says that 4 out of 5 managers lack the talents. I don't think that it's talents, because I think people come to the workplace with tremendous talents. I think it is that they lack the awareness of what is going on and what is pushing and driving their behavior. And I think that they need to have their eyes opened.
Good People, Bad Managers, How Work Culture Corrupts Good Intentions. The author is Dr. Samuel Culbert, award-winning author, professor at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. The book, Good People, Bad Managers, available wherever books are sold across the country. Also at the website, Dr. Culbert's website, goodpeoplebadmanagers.com. You can link on directly to get all the information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us.
You've been listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. And join us next time for another broadcast of This Week in America. Yeah.